We could hardly have two texts that are more at variance with one another than the two we have this morning. On one side we have utter, you know, violence, total disrespect for anything, even the ancestral property. In that part of the world, my goodness, you know, this was my father's and my grandfather's, my great-grandfather's, all the way back. I can't sell this. It belongs to the family. And Ahab wants it anyway, but he backs off. Now, remember, king, he's not a king like the king of England, you know, or the vast, but he's a ruler. And his wife, who's a violent woman, this is not the only time we know this, just says, it's easy, I'll just kill him. And then you're going to have your vineyard. And so that's what happens. Now that's violence. We all trying to do that, you know, one way or another, get rid of opposition, get rid of this, whatever it is, you see. And that's not the way to go. Our Lord's teaching, on the other hand, is exactly at the other end. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That is legal prescription. That's in the book of Leviticus and elsewhere. If a man knocks out one of your teeth, you go to law with him, and they'll let you knock out one of his teeth, but not two. See, the law is to stop excessive revenge. Same for a tooth, same for an eye, and so forth. See? That was to eliminate excessive revenge. But our Lord says, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Someone strikes you on your right cheek. Now, if a person's going to strike you on their right cheek, they have to hit you this way, which is even more insulting. Well, let them hit you the other way, too. Now, what could our Lord mean by these? They go like that, you know, when somebody wants to go with law over your tunic, give him your cloak as well. What can these mean? You know, this is the Son of God talking to us, telling us, this is the way I want you to live. You who believe in me, you who say you obey me, you who feed on my body and blood, this is the way I want you to live. Isn't that quite a challenge? What do you do with this now? You see, you've got to take it home and pray. What can it mean? I think we have to start. There was a beautiful study done on this many years ago by Don Jacques Dupont, a Benedictine. You've got to be ready in your heart to do this. This is what he calls a focal instance. If you're not ready in your heart to do this, you're never going to discern. This is a possibility. And then you work from there. Offer no resistance. You know, he takes your coat, you know, hits you on one side, let him hit the other. Now, isn't it shocking to our fallen, vengeful, violent nature that we're supposed to be ready to do this? And if we're not, we don't know how to discern. Should I let him hit the other one? Remember, at the trial, somebody hit Jesus, and Jesus said, why do you strike me? He didn't do this. But he was ready to do it. Wouldn't be many more hours, would he be hanging on a cross for that very person? What we usually do with this is say, you know, Gospel of the Lord, praise to you, Jesus Christ, and then forget it. Right? Well, we can't do that. This is the Word of God. And we have to pray and figure out, what does this mean in this situation? Suppose somebody steals my coat, and I see the guy with it on, and I'm ready to let him have it. So I'm praying. And I let him have it. And his heart is totally touched. And he comes to know the Lord. It's better than a code, isn't it? You see? Remember, the Lord is telling us, be perfect as your Father is perfect. Act like God the Father. Well, how does God the Father treat you? Every time you sin, does he swat you? He sent his Son to die for you. This is a new world. And we grow into it little by little. But we have to want to grow. How does it work out? You see? And it was a law in the Roman army that occupation forces, they could get anybody to be porter and carry something for milia paschos, a mile. So, Jewish fellow walk along the street and this Roman soldier's got, he says, here, carry my pack a mile. He's got to do it. Imagine how galling that would be. Jesus says, take it too. Why? Why? So that you'll be like your Father. How many times does he say to you, I forgive you? I had a friend, he's dead now, wonderful guy. Yeah, I've talked about him before, he's Palestinian Christian. And his conversion, it was a time, if he heard somebody, and he spoke Hebrew himself, of course, living over there. If he heard somebody speak Hebrew, he turned away and spit, or walked away. He would not even speak the language. And resented, and started a huge demonstration when the Jewish people, the officials, took some land from his father and paid him a pittance, and he started a demonstration in Haifa. He had guts, this guy. And when they pull up, you know, harassing him afterwards, and the Shin Bet, or one of the, that's not the FBI or something, would pull up in a car and guy did not say, let me see your identification, let me see your identification. He said, look, I'm Kamil Jihadi. I told you that yesterday, did you forget? That's what the Arabs call that, a big mouth, you know, they just talk back. It's quite a lovely, I like that trait, you know, but this is the kind of thing the Lord's talking about. So, it was getting worse. And I said to him one summer, as I was going away, Kamil, if this keeps up, you're either going to kill somebody or somebody's going to kill you. You can't go on like this. If I said, there's no change, I'm going to get you a job in Chicago or something. I mean, so, I came back and he said, Abuna, I want to tell you something. I said, I want to hear it. He said, you know, he was a house painter. He made his money painting houses, you know. And the Jewish houses and Arab houses, but, you know. So he said, I'm in my charismatic car. By this time, he joined the group, what he called the prayer group up there. He started by saying, Abuna, you know, I'm not even sure there's a God. But those were all my friends, and they're praying, and it's nice, so I go. So anyhow, he's driving along. Now, the Israeli soldiers hitchhike over there. The all over the place. All the citizens pick them up and take them wherever they're supposed to go, or advance them on their way anyway. So he says, I just had to stop work early because it was raining, so I'm driving. And there's this Israeli soldier hitchhiking there. And I start to go by him and say, I hope he drowns. And I stopped. I said, I can't do that anymore. I'm a Christian. So I took my rosary bead out and I hung it on my mirror so he'd know it was a Christian picking him up. And I backed up and I put him in the car and I spoke Hebrew with him all the way. And then I dropped him not just on the street, I took him right where he wanted to go. When he got out, Abuna, my whole heart had changed. I don't know what happened. You see what he did? He went 1 mile, 2 miles. And the Lord just changed his heart. By the time he died, when he died of cancer, 4 or 5 years later, there were about 5,000 people at his funeral, mostly Jews, because he had started a halfway house for people getting out of prison, Palestinian, Israeli, whatever. And he was just, you know, he told me this story. This is, I got two more minutes. He told me this story. This is, I'm showing you that the fruit of when you're supposed to, you do it. He was very sick and he was in an emergency or whatever that is, not emergency. Anyway, and there was a man in the other bed. This young rabbi came in. By this time, he's speaking Hebrew anytime he wants to, Kamil. And the young rabbi went over to the bed and visited the old man there, his father. And as he was coming out, just out of generosity, he went over to the other bed. And he saw it was a Palestinian. And he said, hello, shalom. And Kamil said, shalom, what's your name? He said, I'm Kamil Shahadi. You're the Kamil Shahadi? Yeah. He said, look, my father over there, he was the rabbi ahead of me in the synagogue, and he's very sick. Could you pray with him? He said, every day I will pray with him. So Kamil went over there every day while they were both in emergency. And when I got out of emergency, I would take my wheelchair or whatever, and I'd go down, and I prayed with him every day till the day he died. Now, in his house for prisoners, there were Israelis and Palestinians. He had to keep them apart too sometimes. But one of the Israelis came back from the synagogue and he said, hey, Kamil, you know, up in the synagogues they have this big plaque of people to pray for. You know, so he said, you know, the very top name on our plaque in our synagogue is Kamil Shahadi, a Palestinian, the top of the list. You see why our Lord says, act like my father? You see what it can do? Here, the mayor of Haifa, he was serious. He said, I know what you're on to, Shahadi. He said, what? He says, you're trying to take over this city by love. And he thought that was some big political trick. See? Anyway, it works, folks. And we can start right among ourselves.